Reluctantly, the other woman went off to her bed, extracting the promise from Christy to call her if there was even the tiniest indication of change in any of the vital signs. Christy sat back and watched the still figure under the blanket. The coma was so deep that it was no longer possible to detect any sign of life. The woman leaned forward and rested her hands on her face, feeling the calming rustle of her own hair gathering around her cheeks.
Come on, lover. Never known you to turn away from a fight. Do it for me, lover.
The movement was almost imperceptible. If she hadn't been staring with all her concentration at his face, Christy would have missed it. Even with her incredible, mutie-enhanced sight, she still wasn't sure.
Lover.
The lid of his good right eye had trembled, as though a speck of dust had touched the cool skin. Christy stood and moved closer, leaning over the bed.
I saw that, Ryan, you bastard. Now do it again. Move your eye.
This time the twitch was much more pronounced. She could see the glimmer of chillingly pale blue beneath the lid. He had opened his eye a fraction of an inch and was looking at her. She was certain.
Oh, Gaia! Mildred! Everyone, wake up! Come here, look!
Ryan! Ryan!
What?
It's the gas! The gas has come!
I'm up! Be right there!
It took him a few moments to heave on his boots and tie the laces tightly. Ryan plucked the heavy, long-barreled pistol from beneath the pillow and slid the door open. The passage was bustling with people, pushing past one another. He made his way quickly along to the command deck of the battle wag, where JB and the traitor were already waiting.
Ah, the sleeper wakes. Glad you could make it.
I thought the Baron said tomorrow. I didn't sleep the Kron around, did I?
No. He sent a messenger a half hour back. Said that the gas wags had put on extra speed to get through the chem storm. They're here now.
Ready to fuel us up?
The traitor looked around him. Most of the obsolets and blaster ports were open, letting in the light breeze that relieved the stifling heat. He rubbed his chin thoughtfully, glancing down at his Kron.
Said it'd be an hour or so. By then it's going to be closing up on dark.
Well, that's cutting it fine if we want to get on the blacktop tonight.
That's what I think. JB?
Not worth the sweating, traitor. Better to fuel up tonight. Go to this kid's party. Triple up the watch to red and get away safe and clear at first light, way I see it.
Way I see it, too. Ryan?
Good with me.
Fine. Let's get to it.
The whole of Taos stank of gasoline. In the failing light, the refueling of the war wags hadn't gone as smoothly as they'd all hoped. A valve at the end of one of the long canvas hoses had broken a thread and snapped, tearing open the connection. 100 gallons of precious gas had soaked into the sand of the plaza before anyone had the presence of mind to spin the lockoff wheel. A team of men and women had come swarming out of the adobe buildings to help. They shoveled heaps of clean sand on top of the dark stain of gasoline, mixing it in until the immediate threat of a catastrophic explosion had been diminished and the refueling could be concluded. Baron Carson came striding out from his quarters, his wife, a lyric ballad in elegance, on his right arm. She was wearing a dress, reaching nearly to the ground, of crushed violet silk that was embroidered with tumbling streaks of black and white satin. A shawl covered her shoulders, made from lace so fine it looked as if a careless breath could ravage it. A comb of lacquered tortoiseshell held up her blonde hair, and rings of precious stones circled her long fingers. Her eyes, matching her dress, raked the assembled crews of the wags, not settling on any one man or woman for more than a heartbeat. Ryan had never seen anything quite as beautiful as the delicate masterpiece that was Sharona, wife to the Baron alias Carson. It was hard to reconcile this image with the rutting alley cat that he knew she could become in the wink of an eye.
I hope that it all went fine, Fern.
One hose got tore, but we fixed it.
Place sure has the flavor of gasoline. No danger, is there?
Nope, not now.
If any of my men had caused you an upset, friend, I'd have had their eyes removed with white-hot hooks and their skin peeled off with blunt cleansing knives.
Mighty kind, Baron, but none of that's necessary. We got loaded up with gas and ammo and food and water. You got our jack. We can be on our way.
Ferryman's jaw visibly dropped, and his narrowed eyes darted toward the Baron.
On your way?
Dawn tomorrow, if that fits with you, Baron.
Ferryman relaxed, looking away with a vague disinterest toward the distant tips of the Sangre de Cristo, still holding the last rays of the tumbling sun. It had been an intriguing bit of body language, and it kept Ryan's suspicions ticking over.
Sure. And watch out for them Indians. They keep haunting us, waiting their chance to strike back, I guess.
They're not all bad, Baron.
You figure, Mr. Carter, do you? If I chanced upon one of them Apaches on fire, I would not even piss upon him.
With that, Carson turned and walked slowly away, his wife at his side, teetering on high heels. Ferryman watched them go, then looked at the trader.
Party for the young'un starts in an hour, but it won't last long. You can all get to rest early if you aim for a dawn start.
The evening was pleasantly mild, the wind a gentle zephyr. A round moon rose through a rack of thin clouds, throwing sharp-edged shadows around Talesville. Ryan hadn't been to a children's party for more years than he could recall. He'd organized the rotation of sentries with JB and the trader, and felt fairly happy that the wags were secure for the night. So there was space to unwind and enjoy the festivities. Hun, July, Otis, and Matt went around the bill with him. In the morning, they'd be back on the road, living on the honed edge of danger. For now, they could all take it easy. It was surprising how many of the youngsters around Taos showed definite ethnic signs of Indian blood. Ferryman himself was dark-skinned, with hooded, dark eyes. Three of his own children were at the festivities, scampering around and sliding quickly from being excited to becoming overexcited. One thing that Ryan picked up on was an unmistakable atmosphere of tension among the Sekmen. The short hairs at the back of his neck prickled expectantly, and Ryan could almost taste the adrenaline in the cool evening air.
Feel it?
The tension? Yeah. Figure it means trouble?
Got to be denied. First light.
If it comes at all.
Well, your woman said...
Girona said a mess of things, JB. And some of them not worth a fistful of sand.
But you can feel it.
Sure. But you gotta look at the other side of the jack.
How's that?
Two heavily armed war wags fueled up with trained crews run by the traitor. And everyone in Deathlands has heard of the traitor. Here we are. Could have a fine ace on the line at taking over the whole of the Baronsville.
Guess that's so. They could just be plain scared.
And again, it could be that the trigger edge is because they aim to blast the living guts out of us in the next 10 hours.
Ferryman, flanked by female sec guards, loomed from out of a narrow alley between two of the square adobe houses, nearly bumping into Ryan.
You enjoying the party, Outlander?
Makes a change to be able to relax for a few hours. You be up and ready to see us away at first light?
Wouldn't miss it. Smitty and McMurtry would have liked this party. Smitty had two youngins.
You buried them?
Uh-huh.
You checked them first? Find any blaster holes, any knife cuts?
Sure didn't, Carter. Think you'd be here like this if I'd found anything? Just some sandblasted bones and muscle. Hardly recognized either of them. That chem storm did a good job for you.
For me?
The sec boss took a half step toward him, his hand striking for the butt of his pistol. He checked himself with a visible effort.
You're a cold-eyed killer, Ryan Carter. You chilled those two friends, I know that. I goddamn well know that. And one day, maybe soon, I'll take you down for it.
Threat or promise, Ferryman?
Promise, Outlander. That's a fucking promise.
The first of the fireworks exploded into the clear New Mexico sky, filling the night with magnesium silver and flowering patterns of crimson and green. Ryan tensed, wondering if the display might be the signal for the beginnings of a bloodbath. But Ferryman simply stared upward with a childlike innocence, the two sec women also gazing at the beautiful lights and colors.
Fucking lovely, Carter. Baron does a good show.
Can't argue with that. See you around, Ferryman.
Ryan turned on his heel, feeling the momentary tightness of waiting for a round between the shoulders, but none came. The trader was standing by the bridge over the river, leaning on his elbows and smoking one of his small cigars. Ryan noticed two dim shapes lurking in the shadows by the SEC headquarters. Even at a distance, he was sure he recognized Remy Stedman and Log Dog Hodgson.
Good fireworks, Ryan. Some of them cherry bombs could be blaster fire.
Yeah, I thought of that too.
See any signs of a raid?
Not up front, but bodies sometimes say more in words.
Yeah, I know what you mean, son.
Out of the corner of his eye, Ryan noticed that the race of Sekhmet had vanished into the darkness.
Think it's already over?
Looks like. No, there's one of them big mortar rockets.
It was a single, immensely powerful